You are 6 lines on the top. Haganavi Shabo Machteris. Thieves who came in a Machteris. Now, they came in a Machteris, they burglarized the house. Vazu Tshuva, they come to do Tshuva, Chav, and Lahav, so you have to give back whatever they took. Now, there's some to do in the Achronim over here. L'chayra, when we say that when they come to the house, in a tunnel, so King Lady Rabamine, they're Chayav Misa, because the owner of the house can kill them, and since King Lady Rabamine, so therefore, they should be exempt from payment. So the Arsamech has a whole long this, how it should work out, why the Chayav payment nonetheless, but I would just like to say, Balabatish, where are you? No, the beginning, Baba Kama. But the Pasha Pshat, I would say, is that the reason why he doesn't pay is because the reason why he wants to pay is because it comes to do tshuva. Because he doesn't have his part because the king of Rabbanei, if he wants to do tshuva, he's got to pay. So what does he pay? So Echad me Chayav Lachzir Shlo.
What's your answer?
Yes, he's doing tshuva.
He's doing the
truth,
therefore,
because he's
really not.
It's lots of he's not obligated. Lots of he's mind.
This issue came up because of the Bavli as well.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of things going on there, and I just don't remember the whole Torah.
Yeah, the Orsamach speaks about that after when they break it outside the Machteris to become Chayav again. Because even though in the Machteris they're positive, but if they break it or it gets lost after they leave the Machteris, they're liable for that. Because it's only a specific point in time when you're taking the Rabbinate. So that's the Lombus who says, well, that thing is based on the Bavli. But I don't think it's necessary to say that. Anyway, so one of them does Tshuva Chayav Lachzir Shlo, he has to get back his own portion. If he was the guy who's standing in the tunnel, and everybody gave the stolen goods to him, and he transported them out of the tunnel. So he was the Moitzi, right? He was the Moitzi Ben Oisei. So Lohem, I mean, he was, I guess actually, he was handing out to the other burglars on the outside, whatever it is. So Umashan Medei Kulam. He has paid for everybody because he really facilitated the entire Geneva, the entire heist, what's it called, was done through him.
Is
it in the Zayyoch? Yeah, that's by Shabbos, but there's a part over here. Tani, Hagoyz l'machibonah, somebody who steals and gives his kid to eat that which he stole, Ben Gdoy Mektan, whether they're adults or minors, they're exempt from pay. He niach lifnei, but they didn't yet eat it, but they left it in front of them, and he died. Ben Gdoy Mektan chayov l'shalim, whether they're adults or minors, they have to restore the stolen objects. They're adults after restoring stolen objects. If they're minors, paturim. So like any other obligation upon a minor, they don't have to fulfill it. Im amru, even if the adults say, we don't know. Im also avinu cheshbon ba'achrona. May your father before he died, he made a cheshbon. He returned to you that which he stole from you. If they say we don't know that, that's a legitimate taina for them to get off the hook. Hey, Sibrahi Bobar Mem, or Ibam, so that's the question. Hagatukha. Imagine this. Do we go this far, Bishanich Livnei Karka? With that, even if the father left in real estate? La, call me man or man. Do they have the, it's not, it shouldn't, their case, it certainly should not be within their power to Omar, any of them, Machesh Manasavina Bachroina. They shouldn't have that capacity, because since they have real estate, it's like any other debt which their father left them, right? Any other debt, if the father left them real estate, they must pay up the debt. So here too, the father left the real estate, they should have to pay up the debt, right? Similarly, Esav Rav Nuna. Rav Nuna asks, Agat, well, imagine this scenario, right? So Zayl Mufrazemis, it's well known this is a stolen object, you know. It's a hot car. So then, Lo Akobi Melomimen Lomar, 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 shouldn't be within their capacity to say, any other amounts or Avinu Bachra, Cheshem Achrono? Should they have the capacity to say, should not be the capacity to say, that we don't know what cheshbon their father made at the end. They have a gzeilmet for semis. They have a thing which is well known to be a stone good. Heiser Rav Sheshes. On the other hand, Rav Sheshes has a question. Ketanim Yitalim Loyam Bebeistin. Maisel Lameimar. By Ketanim, who are that which it says, where the father left in front of them goods, right? So it says that so then the Reisha said, they're liable no matter what. Why are they liable? Let's tie it for them. Why don't we tie it for them? In other words, if the adults can say maybe our father made a cheshbon at the end, so why can the children also say? If the adults can say it, for children, even if they don't say it, let basin tie it for them, because we know we have a principle. Tanin only asked me. We make the claims for Yisraelim, so why don't we claim for them on their behalf? Maybe the father made a cheshbon. I remember I said, it's not that simple. Tipata b'shata, and this answers all the questions together. Tipata b'shata anu hein on uyoidim. That which we don't tie it for the assignment. And that which gedolim are also chayam, they make a tie as if they say, we don't know what went on. What taina does exempt them by the gedolim? And nevertheless, we don't tie this for ketanim. Which is, anan da asa yodim anan, we know. We know our father was involved in this cheshbon. We know he made it. He had an issue with you. We don't know what came out from that discussion, literally from that din, but obviously it wasn't din Torah. The Shaifa saw fact changes to me. No. We don't know what came out of it. So everybody say, were we taina for ktani muta? We don't taina any taina for. And even Gdolim, they say, we don't know if our father paid you back or not, that's not sufficient. They have to pay in that case. The only case Gdolim do not have to pay is if they say, we know our father did some, had something to do with you on this matter, we just don't know what the conclusion was. In that case, we say that's a legitimate response, that they do not have to pay back. Okay, only that one case. It's Gdolim who are securing the knowledge, the father did something, they just don't know what the father did. Okay, let's go on. If the tax collectors took his donkey, and they gave him another donkey which wasn't his, if bandits took his garment, so he gave him another garment, he gets to keep the garment which he got. Because when the tax collector or the bandits take your stuff, you give up hope. So therefore, it's a Yeush, and after Yeush and Chirushus, after Yeush, after he gave up hope, and after now reached the other person's domain, he gets to keep it. Hamatsu miyada norv, somebody save something from a river, miyada listim, or from a bandit. In the Siyashabah, if the owners gave up hope, Arayla Shul, he gets to keep it. Chein nachal shudvarim, so too, a swarm of bees. In the Siyashabah, the owners gave up hope, Arayla Shul, then the finder gets to keep it. Rabbi Yochanan Brogu said, on the other hand, Nemenes Isha Okota Lomar, a woman or a child is believed to say, Mikan Yotza Nachal, that this swarm left this location, in order to attribute ownership to the person in whose yard the swarm originated. And the person whose swarm it was goes into the other fellow's fields, and takes the swarm back. If a swarm damaged, he pays for the damage caused by his swarm. But he can't chop off the branch upon which his swarm has alighted, even with the intent of paying the owner for having chopped down the branch. That sounds right to do so. That's Tanakam, Rav Shomer Osher, Rav Yoram Brogo, Omer, yes, Kotzitz Minosin Domi, he's allowed to chop down the branch and give money for the branch in order to take his swarm back to his field.
There's no concept here about how much
good question. No, it's a good question what you're asking. We'll see in a minute. Tanya, Hamatsu Minagais, when the price of somebody steals or saves some bandits, a lake or from a fire, Mishnusay, I'm from a tidal wave or tidal basin of some sort. Mishnusay, I'm from a river flood stage. Harel Shlo, whatever he saved, he gets to keep, even as Simonim, even as signs as the original owner, because the original owner gives up hope. The Chayn Novashel, the Dvarim, so to a swarm of bees, and the Siyashubal, the owners gave up hope. Harel Shlo, finders keepers. Achina Barpav, the Shema, Yechna, Tzad, Masisa, this Mishnah is talking about benachil, b'raisa also. So about benachil, so about a swarm, it should be sheg zelo mina halacha. You take the yud out of halicha and put it into zelo. Where the theft is the rabbanah. Zelo, it's theft, it's the rabbanah. Because the swarm bees doesn't belong to anybody, it's not domesticated. You can't own a bee. It's not a domestic animal, it's not a behemoth, it's a chaya, it's a, not even a chaya, right?
This is the swarm minus the hive, the beehive.
Yeah, but even if it's in the beehive, you don't own it. You only own domestic animals.
And I don't remember what the sugya discussed, but it was in Balakam. There's a whole sugya by Kaveris, a whole thing about beehives, and I don't remember.
Bob Asra about how far you have to put the beehives from the honey.
Yeah,
it's a famous Suya Kaveris, second paragraph of Basra. That's how far you have to.
But isn't an aspect of ownership there attributed to,
no,
to the beehive?
Shmir Snazokin. The Yerbee Shun Gwabi Mazik is honey. So, but in Amen, that's a. The Benachel Shukzelo Mina Halacha. And that's why we believe a little kid. Because the theft is the Rabbanan, right? There's no theft of rice or swarm, so Hemo or Vemamu, since the theft is the Rabbanan, they also believe testimony the Rabbanan by it. Okay? Ube Porea, now this is, by the way, the change is based on the Bavli, in the Yushami Ksuvas, where it has the change. And it says here, Ube Porea, in the Yushami in Ksuvas, it says Ube Mafriach. That's funny about the bees, that the, when can you get your bees back? When they're still flying around from place to place, even if they've alighted temporarily in some other branch. But once they've set up shop somewhere else, so the same Rabbanu which gave you ownership now gives the ownership to the new person, to the person where the bees now set up shop, and they're no longer yours. But the Rashba, the Ramban says a different side here, the Gilin Ephraim, the Rashba side. Gilin Ephraim brings it down here on the very bottom of the page, those of some of you who have it, that says that, no, the pshat here is that. The Pireach means, like today we have the concept of Pirche. You know, Pirche are young lads, right? But they have to be above a certain age. They have to be above 12. They have to have Simonim, says Gilin Ephraim, even though they're not 12 yet. They have to have two heirs, even though they're not 12. So those are specifically type people are believed to say that Mikan Yotza Nachosho Barimzu, where here the swarm bees came, not anybody who's younger than that. That's so we try to Pireach. Uvar Asar. Also, it's going to ask me on the spot when we ask him, and he says this, the katan or the isha. I'm a yotze b'chazer, but if he left the room and came back, Omer, I say, mivnei yiru pitoy omer. They said it because they were seduced by lollipops or threatened by patches, and therefore don't believe it. Time Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan broke Omer. He says, so how come you can cut down the other guy's branch in order to get your swarm? Tonight, Basin, who? This is a condition made by Basin. When they divvied up the land of Israel, Lokud says Sukkah that this guy can chop down the other guy's branch, lead to endom him, and nosy dom and pay for it. Shamanas Kenechil Yeshua, Yeshua made the stipulation before he divided up Eretz Yisrael to Oshvatim that this is one of the enactments they accepted upon themselves. Your goods were stolen. You recognize these goods, stolen tools or books in somebody else's domain. Im yotzalo sheng neva beer, if it was well known that this is a stolen object, then yishava kama yotzi, the person in whose domain these entities were found, should take a shvuah. I mean, we know that he didn't steal because it's known that it was stolen by somebody else. So then he takes a shul kama hotzi, how much he expended from these, viyotzi, and he viyito, and then he can take. Vimav, and if not, in other words, the person who bought the sefer gets from the nigzal as much as the sefer is worth. Is that clear? I don't know if I might have said that over wrong. In other words, since the Gazan's not around, we don't know the Gazan, we don't find the Gazan. All we know is the nigzal and the guy in whose hands he finds the sefer. So it's not fair that this guy should be out the money that he paid for the book. So therefore, we make him take, and we have him take an oath how much he got made on the book, and then he takes that oath, and he gets the price of the book back from the original owner. Does he? Yeah, the original owner, right? The original owner. In order to get his own book back, that's right. In order to get his own book back, he has to pay. He has to pay the person who's holding on to right now.
So then he has to go against the dog on the floor.
Right, and then he has to go against the cause and collect. Vim Laman, if not, locally menu, if it's not well known that it's a theft, so a person can't go around and say, doesn't have the capacity to go around and say that's his. Shani Omer, I say, Mochon Lacher. Lochon Zemi Menu. I say, somebody else, sold to somebody else, and this guy bought from the third party. So if there's no testimony, then we don't assume that what the guy is saying, the claimant is saying, is correct. Really, it's proper that the person, the third party in whose hands the book was found, should not take a shvua. So people should become fences for thieves. Whatever he has to take a shvua is kind of a deterrent. I don't know if it's such a good deterrent, but it's a deterrent. Abishuvalevi said, Vushe Yotzalo, Shame Shanikdavu Svarov. He's got to have a name that his form is stolen. Otherwise, I don't believe him altogether. It has to be well known that this guy's form is stolen. Okay? Says, how does such a thing happen? This is, I'm going to make this parallel to the Bavli, even though it's a question whether it is parallel to Bavli, but the Shai Ter Yisrael does. Rav Asiya said, Rav Amar, sorry, Tzach Levi Raya, has been approved, Shalonu Imobo Salaila, instead of Lon, Shalonu. Meaning like this, the way the Bavli says it, is that the Balabais has to announce, instead of guess that night when he had the burglary, that the burglary took place. So then the Bavli asks, you know, who says that we believe him? But it takes place just because he claims it. Maybe sending up the human cry like the daughter of Paro, right? The Paro Potiphar, right? Who claimed that, the wife, Potiphar, who set up a false human cry. So I don't know if the human cry is true. So, is this an honor of your seum?
Yeah.
Once you're making a seum, can you actually get me a Diet Coke, please? Mazel tov. Diet Pepsi is fine, but I don't know if the machine is taking dollar bills tonight. My son is on the verge of finishing Shas Mishnayos.
Oh,
no. At the Bar Mitzvah. He just has half of Nida left, and that'll be finished. All right. So, Hamakir Kalev. So what does he have to do? He has to bring proof that people slept in his house that night. Now, the way the Bible explains it here is very cryptic. The Bible explains that he has to bring proof that he had guests that night. And he got up in front of his guests, and he said, look, my house has been rifled and cleaned out. That's how he can make a shame to the neighbor. So the Bible says maybe stage the whole thing. So the Gemara says it's got to be that they saw people running from the house through tunnels with bundles on their backs, right? Because that makes it pretty convincing. But Yushami doesn't go that far. Yushami just says that's being a proof that there are people in his house that night, and that's enough. In other words, that he raised the hue and cry even if it was false. So Yushami doesn't require more than that for a call. Asim, I'm told what might be playing in the kachtim if the guy says, the buyer says that he bought it from so-and-so, and he names the bookseller, Naaman, he's believing, he doesn't even take a shvur, the way Lieberman explains it, the name of the Ramban. Because in that case, he has credibility to say how much he paid, because it's Milsa Davia Glui. If he's lying, we'll all go ask Yankel, who he claims sold him, whether he sold him for that price or not. So if he says, I bought it from Yankel for $10, I'll leave him in without a shvua. Says, well, that's nice, but Asa Uvto Kumi Rabbi Nasa, the case came from Rabbi Nasa. For low kavil, and he didn't accept what the guy said, I bought it from Yankel for $10. Ma poi, what, does he answer? Barnash, Barnash, no, Amar, he said, Barnash da kinavo, he was a con man. It's a crooked fellow. The begin came low key, but that's why he didn't accept his assertion that he bought it from Yanko for $10. It's another pshat here in the Shai Teresol. He says, Baganash Aki means he's a poor fellow. In other words, the seller was a poor fellow. And we don't believe that we don't believe that this guy had books to sell. In other words, he didn't have a bookstore. Okay, so it's going on the seller, not the buyer. The seller, the seller who this buyer's name didn't have a bookstore, so we believe that he just took a name out of the hat. Okay, halacha dalet. Zeba v'chavisa shel yayin, v'zeba v'kara shel dvash. This guy comes. What about the other building? You got yourself a Coke in the other building. So go ahead, give me a Diet Coke. Thank you. All right. You have a change? Wait, we're taking up a collection. I don't have a green card, guys.
What do they charge?
50 cents. Thank you. Zeba Chavisa Shayayin. Wait, today I want you to know I snored today a whole dollar. Because I needed two quarters for parking meters today, and I snored those too. I'm getting successful with this gig here. Okay. Zeba Chavisa Shayayin. Zeba Karo Sheldvash. This guy comes with his jug of wine. This guy comes with his jug, whatever, container of honey. So look, the guy, Reuven's carrying honey. So the pot cracked. It doesn't say if it cracked on each other. It's not part of the story, not germane. Anyway, but honey's more expensive than wine. This guy pours out his wine to save the other guy's honey. So now he wants the price of his wine. He doesn't get it. And he only gets the reward, the wages for having saved the honey. Only Omar, if he says, Atila Shochav Atoinosin Li Dmei Shali, if he says, should I save yours and you'll pay me for mine, then Chayvitain Lo, then the honey guy has got to give the value of the wine to the wine guy. Now here's a fascinating Gemara. This Gemara actually is not in the Bavli, it's a Tosefta. Tani Shnayim Bamidbar. Two guys in the desert, similar to Ben Ptoyim Rabbi Akiva's case, but a variation on the theme. Right? Ben Ptoyim Rabbi Akiva's the two guys at the one canteen. Here there's also one canteen, but they're not even in danger. Shnayim Bamidbar, V'yadze Chavis Mayim, this guy's got a jug of water, V'yadze Chavis Mayim, the other guy's got a jug of honey. Nizda Chavis Mayim, so the water bottle cracks. So Tatnai Beistinu, Tatnai Beistin, Beistin stipulated Sheishmoch Zed Div Show that this guy should spill out his honey, the Yatzus Maimov and save the other guy's water, despite the fact that water is much cheaper than honey. Shamayim Mechayeb Amidbar V'lo Advash, water keeps the guy alive in the desert and not honey. Fascinating, right? Okay, so Bnei Moshe brings down that when they get to a community, so thank you. He's got to reimburse the water guy's got to reimburse the honey guy for having saved his water. Okay, so there's ample water. In this case, it seems even though there's ample water, still you do everything you can to save the water supply.
No, but you're in the desert, so okay, you have ample water now, but maybe down the road you won't have ample water.
Right, that's true. But it's expensive proposition though, because he's going to have to pay for all the honey, which the other guy pulls poured out. Okay, I'm asking. That's what it says. It's not illogical. Just an interesting case. Tani, poiv oni shol rosh ilon. If you have a worker or a poor man who's going up to collect, you know, leket shichan peah at the top of the tree, they went to the top of the tree with shavru suka and they broke a branch while they were there. If in this area workers go up trees, supposed to go up and up ladders, and they're exempt. This is aberrant, and they're liable. From this Mishnah, this Gemara alone, you could derive mouths and mouths of halachas. You know, if he's thought about it in terms of, you know, when I could charge somebody else for a service I did on their part, and when in the course of a service I'm exempt from paying if I mess up in the service. You know, let's say, you know, if you have a plumber and he messes up your house, but he did no standard operating procedure, so it depends, you know, if that's, he did kimineg amokum, so it says here he's potter, right? So even he broke a branch in the course of doing it. That's what it says here about a worker broke a branch while he was working on your tree. It's a fascinating thing.
Did the worker break the branch climbing up
on your tree to do your work?
Yeah, with a ladder or...
If that's the question, whether it's an
extraordinary way that's not...
No, it's not kadarko. Kadarko. He didn't use the ladder. He wasn't using the ladder because they don't use ladders there to climb up trees. So the major ramifications. I just can't think of any offhand. But I'm sure there are, you know, it sounds obviously very important. An exhibition no different. Shot of Nahar Hamoiro. A donkey swept away. A donkey swept away. Yeah, one second. I missed a Lieberman I wanted to say over. Lieberman on... the Lieberman on the Gemara a couple of Gemaras ago. The Gemara a couple of Gemaras ago said that Bedinu Shleishava, really, if the guy who has the book doesn't have to take, shouldn't have to take a shvua, why does he take a shvua? Because he... so the people shouldn't go and join up with Ganovim. So the Pnei Moshe says there, why didn't he have to take a Shmuel Bedin? Because he is a Chazok on the book. Since he's only on the book, so we believe him. We should believe him how much he paid without the Shmuel. But Lieberman says that's not as far because maybe he stole the book. Lieberman says the reason is because there's a concept Takonas Hashuk. It's not brought down in the Bavli, but Yerushalmi, it's brought down the Bavli in this Gemara. Takonas Hashuk means people have credibility to say how much they paid for things in the marketplace, because otherwise the marketplace wouldn't work. So that's why really here there shouldn't be a requirement for Shavua, if not for the fact that this is, you know, rumored to be stolen goods, so that's why they make it take a Shavua in order that people should make sure not to associate with known thieves. But normally there's this concept called Takonas Hashuk, which allows for not taking Shavuos on normal day-to-day activity in the course of wheeling and dealing and trade. Okay? Sorry about that. Halacha hey. Shatav nahar chamoro. A river swept away your donkey. The chamor chaver and your friend's donkey. Shalo yafem money. Yours is worth only $100. The chalaver masayim. Your friend's is worth $200. So, he till, hinech shalo, you left yours to drown. Vita Shachaver, you saved your friends. Elo Eschar, again, all you get is your reward. Imamar, if you said, Imarlo, he said, Atzilo Shachosh, I save yours. Atono, Sainli, Dumeshli, you'll give me the price of mine. Chayv Litinlo, then the other guy must give it to him. Time, we learned, Tiniel Shul, Atzil Shachaveru. You left yours to save your friends. Valo Shachaver, Me'elo. Your friends came up on its own. You didn't actually save it. In that case, Andy's kaklo kum, tough luck. You get nothing. You lost yours, and you don't get any reward from him because his came up on its own. Right? It spontaneously came back. What about this case? Eliniach shelo, latzil shelchavero. Now, I think the Pnei Moshe has the wrong shot here. And there's also a Mashbiach, which I think is the wrong shot. I said a pshat, and then I found the pshat in the Ursa Meach, the way I'm going to learn pshat. You left yours to save your friends. Okay, and your friend agreed to reimburse you for yours. And yours came up on its own. Can he say, I gave up hoping it already? Hi, it came up again! That doesn't matter. It's panim chadoshos. So you have to pay me, and I get mine back. If I chopped it before somebody else chopped it. Do you understand the case?
That's
so that's, can he say that? Should get double. So there's a case like this in the Bavli. I saw the Yosemech makes this connection too, but I made the connection without having seen the Yosemech. The case of Rav Safra, who used to, there was a caravan which they used to pay every member to sacrifice a donkey each day to a lion which was following them. And Rav Safra, his day came and he gave his donkey, and his donkey was not eaten. And he said, "You guys still have to pay me, because it's my schus. I gave up on my donkey. I was willing to send him away. I was my schus, and my donkey wasn't eaten. But you guys still owe me the money." Okay, Mishmaya Karachmalei Abav Safra. So that's the same case over here. Can he say that over here? He says, "You have to pay me. Hi, I got mine back. It's the Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave me a matana, but it's not you. You still have to pay me." And Rav Safra gives a fascinating tushto. He says, "A guy can." I rented a house from you, and I, the tenant, guarantee you that in case of fire, I'm going to pay you. And then you, the landlord, who was already guaranteed, take an insurance policy on the house anyway. And now the house burns down, and the insurance policy is going to pay. Do I have to pay you as well? That's my mission. It's Gemara. In other words, according to the way we just learned it. He had an insurance policy, and he got it back anyway. Does he get double? So that's the question. And the maskar of this Gemara will determine the parshas of the Yosef Melech brings otherwise as well. Will determine that case whether you get, even though you got from the insurance company, you can also collect from this guy. Okay? Might say nowadays in America, I think we have like no fault insurance is meant to ensure that that doesn't happen. You don't collect double. Whatever it's called, I don't know if it's no fault insurance in term for it, but whenever you use like auto company insurance, you can't collect double. You get only one. Medical insurance, you only get one. I think it's illegal to double dip like that, but theoretically, halachically, what would be the question? What would be the issue? So here it says, Yishmini Adop, let's turn for it. It's Machlaikas. Shot of Nar Chamoigo. Your donkey was swept away by a river. The Hayat Savech, the Emir, Lori Siashi, was shouting, say, "I don't give up! I don't give up hope!" Beshloka Shamar calls my children Savech, when he says, "Taka didn't give up hope." So, Divo, Chazaka Miyayishu Baloni. He's trying to prevent other people from getting it, but he was really Miyayish. So, Rabbi Yochanan Enochanami over here, we believe him to say he was Miyayish. And therefore, he can collect double. He gets to keep the horse, which used to be his, which he got now in a hefker, and he gets paid by the guy who guaranteed a payment for saving his horse. Okay, fascinating Gemara. Halava ben dal raf. I go to Sodom. Somebody stole a field in a gloom is seeking. This man that is this Ganav is a real shlamazel. He stole a field, and then bandits came and stole from him. So imakas medina he. If this is what happens in this guy, the nothing to do with the bandit himself, the original thief. Bandits are roaming the country. Omer, he says to the Nigzal, "Arish shechol v'necha. That's your field over there. Hi, there's a bandit there. It's your bomb, not mine. That's the way it works in this country, right?" If it's because of the Gazlan, in other words, the bandits knew that the original thief was there, and that's where they came, and then the Gazlan has given another field. The question is going to be why, but in that case he has to. Shafanor, if the stone field was flooded, you say to the original owner, it's tough. Hi, your field is now under 6 feet of water. It's your field. If you stole a friend, or you borrowed from him, or you got him for safekeeping from him, by Yishuv in the country, in the community, but you can't give it back to him in the desert, because that requires all sorts of other expenditures which are not part of the deal. I'm not squatting my midbar if you gave it to him. However, on the condition he gave the condition that you're allowed to go out in the desert with him, Yaslo midbar, then you're allowed to return to him in the desert. I'm Rabbi Yechiel, said, "I understand the whole Mishnah. Why does the Gazan have to pay back other land? They said, ain't kachin gezelus, no theft by land, because land doesn't go anywhere. So why did they say, when the bandits came, because the original thief had stolen it, that the original thief has to provide another field for the nigzal, kachin and nigzelus, there's no gezel by karka. Can't be stolen, it remains in place. You should always be able to say a racial ofanacha. You already say, here's your land. Knas Gansua. Enechanam Extrabonon, it's a fine against Gano Gazlonim. Nokua Mesigimin Agaz Machmas Anigzal. Now, another case. The bandits took it from the thief because they didn't like the original owner. In other words, they took it from the perpetrator, but not because of the perpetrator. They took it from the perpetrator because they didn't like the victim. So, Mao di Uyoch Lomelme, can the Nigzal say to the Gazlon, it's still your responsibility. Mikomakom Havli DD. You have to give me my stuff back. And somebody wants to can come and take it from me. But your responsibility you haven't yet fulfilled. And the Moret says, doesn't really give an answer for this. Just leaves it bad. It doesn't really say. The Gemara goes on to a new issue. Rabbi Yishum Levi Mar Ena Dom Nitpas Al Chaveiro V'Chayev Litein Lo. If the people made me pay for you, Nitpas Chaver means I have to pay for you, I can never demand for reimbursement Ela Bar Non V'Gugolos, except by real estate tax and poll tax. And those taxes I can come to you and demand payment, because there was no way you would get out of it yourself. But by a loan, if somebody compelled me to pay off your loan, I can't come to you then demand payment. Because you could always say, had it been up to me, I would never have paid. I would have defaulted, I would have convinced them not to take money, so therefore, you can't make me reimburse you. So says Mara, that's one interpretation. Rav Amar, Rav said, no, Yochim Meimarle, he can always say, the guy who paid up the loan can say, At shari ivitoch, meaning you undid your knot, meaning you took the pressure off yourself by me, you gotta pay me for that. Now I don't know if that means just to pay the full value of the loan. It might be somewhat prorated, because he took the stress off of him. Right? That might be the issue. But he does have to pay something for the other guy having taken the stress of the loan off of him. I don't remember, we did learn the Ksuvus. I don't remember what the conclusion of the sugya was there, but we did have the Ksuvus. Okay. Ha'alachazayin. Ha'alachazayin says, friend, gizalticha, I stole from you. Or, he was trying to loan me money. Or, if God is for you, left an object by me for safekeeping. Vainia day, I don't know if you was zaitloch, I don't know if you ever gave back to you in law, or if not. Lilach zaitloch, I do not. Ha'alachazayin has got to pay him. Because he knows he stole something. If he gave it back, it's gotta pay. Avo, I already said, Armalay, any of things out here, I don't know if I stole from you, Vila, son, if you loan me money, if God let's see if you left not in safekeeping. And you will have got it, or if not, part to me, Lashali, in that case, it's exempt from paying. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, what kind of cases are we talking about here? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Bebolot Seishadeshmai. First of all, Armish story about coming, he wants to do tshuva. Because otherwise, there's no taina. Right? The guy didn't taina you. You're coming on your own, right? So of course you don't have to pay. Armish story about a raya. Is there any raya here? There's no raya. And it's not a dos baldi, because he said, I don't know if I stole. I don't know if I'm liable to you. So it's only a guy who comes, let's say, Sidei Shammai. So says the Gemara, if a guy says, Gizaltir, I stole from you, if you saw you loaned me money, if God don't sleep, he gave me some money for safekeeping. And he says, did I give it back to you? It's a question. Did I give it back to you? And the other guy says, anyway, I don't know if you gave it back to me. Now, the way they touch it up here, the girl and the friend touch it up, and the choir is right. It's not that he says, I don't know if you gave it back. It's not just he says, I don't know. Because in that case, the person who's in doubt whether he stole or he borrowed or got an option of safekeeping would not have to pay. This is about a good case where the guy says, I don't know, I know you didn't give it back to me. That I know. I just don't know if you stole.
Excuse me.
I know for sure I didn't get back anything, but I don't know if you stole. So in that case, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Sofer Meimar Chayvam, I should tell you, the King of France says, brings out, this machlokes between the Shach and the Tumi and what this halach is. Rabbi said, let me say it over again. The case like this, I come to you and I say, listen, I stole from you and I don't know if I ever gave it back to you. Or I borrowed from you, I don't know if I ever gave it back from you. Gave it back to you. So you say to me, you know what? To give it back, you never gave it back. But I don't know if you stole from me. Or to give it back, no, I never got anything from you. But I don't know if you borrowed from me. So my chleik is shach and tumim, in this case, whether the guy has to pay back or not. Right? Normally, if I say, any of them is chayavti, I don't know if I'm liable, I don't have to pay. I say, any of them parati, pratich, I don't know if I paid back, I do have to pay. Because there the obligation was established, right? But that's where you tine it to me that I stole from you. And depends how I respond to it. Or they say, I don't know if I stole from you, in which case I don't have to pay. Or I say, I don't know if I paid you back, in which case I do have to pay. But here, you don't tine it that I stole from you. I'm the one who's not sure if I stole from you. All you establish is that for sure I never gave it back. So that's the question, whether in this case it's tantamount to a definite theft with a questionable... I'm sorry, in this case...
I still stated wrong.
Here the guy says, I definitely stole from you. You don't know if I stole from you, but I definitely stole from you. I just don't know if I gave it back. And you say, I don't know if you stole from me. So in that case, it's like a bari v'shema, but it's a reverse bari v'shema. The guy never sure he stole. The nignav is not sure he got stolen. Right? But there's a bari v'shema on the flip side too. The guy never sure is not sure he paid back. But the nignav is not sure he was never paid back, right? Now it's true, he's not sure he was ever stolen, so each guy's got a bari, a definite claim, a shem, and a questionable claim. So that's machlokes, what do you do in this case? It's a meimar goes to me, Mr. Shach. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Sofer Meimar, Chayv Lami Lo Min Hadin, he's gotta pay him back! Cause he's sure he does about the thing that he stole, and the other guy says, you didn't pay me back. So it's a bari and a bari. We take the baris on both sides, the definite claims on both sides, join together, he's a thief and he never paid back. Rabbi Yisrael of our men, Meimar Odu Lotzei Sidei Shemayim. That's good back only Lotzei Sidei Shemayim. In other words, the baris don't join together. There's a suffix if there's a chiv of Gzela, and a suffix if there's a chazara, and they join together, and he only has to give back in order to fulfill tshuva. But not for the, not me, mikradin. Hotesi minakis, minasati lucha. I say, I took him my wallet, I paid you back. Vuhrmeh says, any of that, I don't know if you did. In this case, Ravuna Amar, Armilo, we say, at place yoda. You don't know if he paid you back. By hand yoda, he knows that he paid you back. According to Pay Motion's case of Abori, I know for sure that I paid you back. So he says, even though you don't know, I know, and we rely on his statement that he did so. Halachas, I'm going to play me neither. Somebody steals a sheep from the herd. Bichzir, and he gives it back. If the owners didn't know about the original theft, and when they brought it back, the thief brought it back, they counted the sheep, Vishlema, and they had an entire herd, and that's obviously that other sheep got damaged or hurt, so then Patim Shlaim, you're exempt from pain. Okay? So it says, Amr Yochan said, Im Yodu Abaylim, if the owners knew about Gneva, the theft, Tzrichim Leidaba Chazora, theft, no one is giving back. Well, the Gneva, they didn't know about the theft, Ein Tzrichim Leidaba Chazora, they don't have to know when it comes back, and they don't even have to have it counted. Since they don't know, what they don't know doesn't hurt them. Even though they didn't know the theft, they have to know about coming back. That's a long babbling about this. Says, if it's like that certain kind of sheep or goat, they don't know it's given back. What's that certain type of sheep? Eats the marichud. Now this is actually a quote from Abbasra. The case of Abbasra is a famous case of how can I sell a herd or a pack? And it says there eats the marichud. Some say bachutra. Some say the kinyan takes place when I give over the stick. Eats the marichud. Some say punja. The kinyan takes place when I give over the recorder, which is used in order to call in the flock. Eats the marichud. Tasha rab. When I give in the lead, when I give over the lead sheep. Because that's a large and distinguished sheep, which I give over, and then the rest of the herd is together with these, which are symbolic of, and are actually used for the whole herd in its entirety. So going back to this, Hayin Barchat says, if I stole a lead sheep, and you knew about the theft, and then I return it, even if I don't tell you that I return it, you're going to recognize your lead sheep. And in that case, that's considered to be a valid return of the theft. So the only reason I brought down these three words is for the last words, or last term of Tayosha Rabba, the big sheep. Halacha test. Halacha min haroim, one cannot take from shepherds. Tzemer, wool, v'cholav, and milk, gdoim, and kids, because we're afraid they steal. V'asher peros, not for people who watch fruit, eating wood, more peros of fruit. Avalachim plika, but you can't, v'alachim klei peshem, v'golim, and asher, but you can't take linen, objects or clothing from women in the Galil, Vagali Misharon, and calves in the Sharon. That you can't do because it's considered to be assumed that the people who have them really own them. The Kulot Sharma at main, every time the seller says, hide it. Also, it's also to buy it. Because if he says, hide it, it's probably hot property. No matter what, you can always buy eggs and chicks because since they're so cheap, people don't steal them to sell them, I guess. Says the Gemara, time when Amakon picked Dunnus, we have this previously, with greater detail. We can't accept safe deposits, because it might not be theirs. Not women, not slaves, not kids. Kimene should be received from a woman, Yachzu has to give it back to her. Mace, if he got from his, if she died, Yachzu Bali gives back to her husband. And there's a lot more back in the 10th parak. Mukin, Shalkoivis Motzi. Mukin are like strands of thread, which a launderer takes out by washing. It's like what's the word? Lint. Thank you. So, Hareil Shlo, he gets to keep it. Shasoik Motzi, if somebody's combing wool takes out, arranged about bais, it becomes longer, but longs about bais, more so significant. Hakayev is a launderer, Noito Shlosh Chutin, he can take the last three threads. I think they're called basting, although I might be mistaken. You know, when they weave the garment, they put in three threads at the end to hold the garment in place. But they're like guide threads, they're not actually inherently part of the garment. So it might be white, different color, something like that. Just put there to hold the weave in place so it shouldn't unravel. So those three threads, if they're still left when the launderer gets them, he can take them. Because already is a hem on the garment they were just left in. Yoisim got there more than that, then Shabbat Bais, he can't take them. Vima Yushokha Gabi Lovin, if they're black and white, you're sure Shabbat Bais doesn't want them. Notas Sakoli takes all of them, and Shalom, they belong to him. Aboheshio Istrayo Hava Katsar, he was a launderer. A fascinating Gemara. V'lo'ava ovelei chada istachin, he had one frock in chadamar, which was one color, one type of wool. Because normally launderers used to make their clothing from different colors and different wools, because they used to take a little bit here, a little bit there, off the clothing which they got, snip here, snip there, illegally in many cases. So Abishol didn't want Abishol didn't want people to be choishish him. So he had one garment. It
wasn't all black.
It was all black. No, that's exactly the point. Min chayamar, from one wool, all black, for shteitzel. What do you think? Lord, I have embraced an army. People shouldn't say, Mididonavash is wearing clothing made from our strands, from our strings. So therefore he was all one clothing. Hachayet shishir min achut. A chayet, a tail left over from the chut, from the thread, a leaforbo enough to sew with, he has to give it back. That's already put to the barbaris. Mali Shoshoshoshov, if he has a patch, which is 3x3 finger breadths, which is minimum shear also for tumah, because minimum shear of a patch, that's good back home, I'll see the barley. Ma'ashachorish motzi, that which is a woodsmith creates sawdust, ma'atzad, with a small plane, a reish lo tzitz. Because shil shabab, because shil, if he does, uses a large plane in order to do it, shabab ice, a lot of sawdust, we love shabab ice. Yoyset shabab ice, if however he's working in the shabab ice's house, it happens to serve even the smallest sawdust, shabab ice, most shabab ice, because it's his chotzer's corner friend. I assume it's because it's chotzer's corner. Tani, we learned. Rabbi Chia said, "Moli amachat." How much the thread does the tail leave over and have to give back? A needle's breadth. That's kedei lead for. Rabbi Yat, which should be debate. Rabbi Yana, it's Rabbi Chia. Patron, they say it's kiflaim kumlo achud. It's twice as much kumlo amachat as a needle. One needle breadth is not enough. It's to be double needle breadth. Taya Bar Kapor had a slightly different version of this. His Bryce had said, "Moli Mashiachas Amachat," the length of a thread through of a needle. The Rade Pachilokim Mashiachas Amachat, and Bay Rabbiane they said also Mashiachas Amachat. So there's more. Wait a minute, Mao Polik. Does Rabbiane argue himself? Because one place he said Mashiachas Amachat means an additional amount. So Ma'apol is Rabbi Yana arguing himself. Says Ma'aretai Rabbi Chia Moli Amachat. No. He doesn't argue himself. He's always consistent. He's always saying it's double. Whatever shita you hold of, it's double that shita. Ma'aretai Rabbi Chia Moli Amachat. That's Rabbi Chia said in Yido full. To be Rabbi Rabbi Yana and Pachilaki flying Moli Amachat. They touched. It's a double Yido full. Ma'aretai Bar Kapar said it's one stitch. Moli Mashiachas Amachat. The pull of a needle. Twice the pull of a needle. Two people holding on to a talus. How from Ralph? Zoymer. Animat Sasia, this guy says, I found him. Zoymer, Animat Sasia, let's see the most famous Mishnah of Shas. Zermer, this guy says, I found it. Zermer, name is Sosia, this guy says, I found it. Zermer, Kulshi, this guy says, it's all mine. Zermer, Kulshi, this guy says, it's all mine. Zayn Shavashain Lobo Pachas Mechetzer, this guy takes an oath, he doesn't have less than half. Zayn Shavashain Lobo Pachas Mechetzer, this guy takes an oath, he doesn't have less than half. Viachloku, they divide it up. Zermer, Kulshi, this guy says, it's completely mine. Zermer, Chetzer, this says, it's half mine. Hoi, Merkulshi, the guy says, it's completely mine. He's Shavah, he's gonna take an oath. Shain Lobo Pachas Mishlosh Chalogim, he doesn't have less than three parts of it. The guy says that my Yeshua Shailu Bapagas Mervia doesn't have less than a quarter of it. Zenotel Shlosh Halakim Zenotel Revia. This guy gets three parts and this guy gets one part. So if each guy claims the whole thing, each guy gets half. If one guy claims the whole, the other guy claims half, so split up three quarters to one quarter. You know, it's not proportional. Right? What would proportional be in that case? No, two thirds to a third. Right?
Gets a half of a whole, the other one gets a half of a, obviously, a half of whatever's left.
No. So, Zeshmer Kulish Shali gets three halogim, those Mer Chetzer Shali gets.
Oh, you're right. Oh,
right?
Right. That's true. You should be.
Two thirds to one third, it was actually proportional.
Right.
So, the Pshat is always say that one half is not a dispute. So, that's one on the bridge. The dispute is in the other half, and that second half we split up. Okay, that's how we look at it. It's not a proportional division. It's a question of how the judgments are rendered independently. Okay, Tani, Adam Shamar Chavero. A guy says to his friend, Tainli Mona, this is not in the Bible, this first thing. Tainli Mona Shatel Chayavli. Give me the $100. Actually, it is a topic in the Bible. Nice. Give me the $100 that you owe me. Amar Lo, so he says, Lo his bar meal, you liar, never took place. I don't know, a plug nickel. So the Ruvain, the Toyin, brought witnesses that Shimon owes him $50. Not the full 150. Can he make him be Mechayev Shmuel and the rest? Is that like Moedim and Miktas or not? So it's Machlokas, I think it's Machlokas Bavli, it's Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Mar, Hodoyas, Aiden, Kodoyas, Peep. the testimony of the witness is like his own testimony. So he said, Moed of a mikvah. He's like, some of you concede half, right? If I claim to you 100 and you concede for 50, it's the oldest shmuel in the books, right? It's in the Chumash itself. It says in that case, what do you say? Yeshua, shmuel d'oraisa, right? But here he didn't confess it himself. Right. So Rabbi Chiya says tantamount. Same thing. It's not the same thing. I can't argue through because Rabbi Yochanan says like you, right? Rabbi Law said, Mishnayim Oichsim Metalis, a little bit of a change here, the next couple of lines. Mishnayim Oichsim Metalis, Lomad Rabbi Chiya Ruva. Rabbi Chiya learned from Mishnayim Oichsim Metalis. In our Mishnah it says, Mikayim and Shetopos Bechetzio. Since this guy is holding on to half, it should be low instead of elo. Low can be shevi, edim shechetzi or shalow. The tamar nishba v'noito. It says here that a shvua must be taken, right? By each one in this case, right? Because the other guy's holding on to the half. Now, the truth is there are many ways to read this Gemara. Tamar nishba v'noito might be kasha, the chora. In our minute, you know, well, I'm not gonna confuse you. The simple way of learning is like we say here in our Mishnah, Rabbi Chiya the Great saw in our Mishnah, that if I'm holding half and you're holding half, so the fact that I'm holding half is a raya to my taina that it's all mine. Just like 50 witnesses on 50 are a raya to my taina that 100 is mine. It's not a complete raya, but it justifies a shvuah over here. The other guy has to take a shvuah, and I have to take a shvuah. In turn, both of us have to take shvuahs. So it's over there, the guy has to take a shvuah. Now it's not completely similar. Because there, and this is why I say there are different ways to learn this tomorrow. Because there, who takes the shvuah? Right out from you 100, and I appear to do say to him at 50. Who takes the shvuah? You, the defendant. Here, who takes the shvuah? Both. So here to the Nishma Venoto, the offendant. Takes the shvuah over here, right? But all right, that's not a kasha because they're obviously both taking a shvuah. So nishma v'noito could mean that each one of us takes a shvuah, and Rabbi Chiya learned from here. Says the Gemara, afadah tamila. So this case is also similar to that case. So the Gilan Ephraim tries to change the gears dramatically here because there is a problem because this Gemara contradicts the Gemara Ksuvas in Yerushalmi Ksuvas. The Shalom Ksuvah styles Rabbi Elah saying it's not like our Mishnah. For reason which Gemara will say later on. In fact, the Shartar says the Shartar cuts and pastes the reason from later on puts it here. So, at Lieberman Mingus is one of his riots that the above us, when Yerushalmi were edited before the rest of Yerushalmi. And that's why Rabbi Elah here proposes that it's learned from the Mishnah. But in Ksuvah, Rabbi Elah says it's not learned from the Mishnah. It goes against the Mishnah. And that there's a different reason there, because that's after Rabbi Law heard it over here from Rabbi Yochanan later on. In Ksuvis, he said it over like he heard from Rabbi Yochanan. That's what we'll see in a few minutes. So it says, Rabba bar mem of Rav Amram, sliku hain de Rabbi Benai. And everybody has problems with the girsa here. It's supposed to be Rabbi Benai, or it's supposed to be Rav Yanai. And what does it mean? Where did they go? What were they doing? So there are many people changing the gersos. Most people change the gersos here, but bottom line is that they went to Rabbi Benai or Rabbi Yana asked this question. Amalei, they said to him, "Amos in shvul l'chashut, is it not true that we don't give over shvul to some of you suspect?" Amalei, so he said, "Yes, and few lashon shvul in most you know, even a language of shvul we don't give him." So everybody had shver. All that according to Hashem. What does it mean? Lashon Shvua. What's the language of Lashon Shvua? So, Baruch Hashem, you came here today and can hear this from me. And I think the Pshat is like this. And nobody, I didn't see anybody says Pshat, and I'm astounded. What's their Kash? They're asking Kash and saying, you know, somebody suspects that he's going to lie and never make him take a Shvua. And the additional question is, you don't even give him a language of Shvua which may make him into a liar. And if you have each guy swear, in our Mishnah, right, that each guy is taking a language of Shvua, right, then to support his taina, guy says, it's kulo shali, And I'll tell you, and the other guy says Gushli, and I'll take a chetzir shuv, and the bishop says each guy takes a shvua and half of it. So they're choshen al shvua. How the choshen shvua? Internally, they're contradicting with each other and contradicting with their own statement. More importantly, it's each guy tying it, I have the whole thing. To say I only have half of it is a contradiction. It contradicts what he himself said. And it certainly contradicts what the other guy said as well. So in this case, we have a paradox. How could you give a language of Shvua to two individuals which contradicts their Taina, and it's contradicted by the other Taina? They're Choshen al Shvua. Now, the Gilin Ephraim has a long discussion there because I've never seen such a long Gilin Ephraim. Because he's bothered by, well, I shouldn't exaggerate, I have, but he's bothered, it's on the bottom. He's bothered by Lamaisa, you know, all Shvuas really are taken by somebody who's Choshen by the other guy. Right, they're always suspect by the other guy, right? Because that evidence, the other guy is summoning him to court and making him take a shvua on something. So obviously he doesn't believe him on something. So if you're going to always be involved, afraid of choshen al shvua, so you should never have anybody take oaths. But obviously, so the Gilin Ephraim says, well, in a chanami, oaths are really taken just in order to make the other guy feel good. But they not really have any intrinsic value. But that's difficult. The Pashim Shadi is that we can't give a Lashon Shvua to an individual if it contradicts his claim. In other words, he claimed all of it is his. How can you go and make him take a Shvua that only half of it is his? Contradicts his claim. So therefore, it's that's like Choshed al Lashon Shvua. It's true, he's not transgressing Shvua per se, but what he's doing is wrong in terms of its contradiction of his statement. So it says, well, you know what, Kate said, Nishma, I'll tell you. Or Avun Amar Shvua Shuyesh Liba, take Shvua that have a portion of it, Ven Liba Pachas Mishav Pruta, which of course directly contradicts the Mishnah, because our Mishnah took a Shvua, Shein Lo Pachas Mi Chetzio, right? So the Mashbiach, one of his classic cute things, says that he really said here, Pachas Mi Shin Pei. And they thought that meant Shin Prus Shav Pruta. But what it meant is Shein Baba Pachas Mi Palga. I'm saying it said Mempe, not Shinpe. Pachas Mi Sharpruta Mempe. And they thought it was two words, Pachas Mi Sharpruta, which makes no sense. Rather, it's Shein Baba Pachas Mi Palga. It was one word. And Mempe with a slash for Palga, he has no less than half. And Ein Achanami, his Shvua doesn't contradict his words. If he'd said, all of it is mine. And he took a shvua, half of his mind, that's an inherent contradiction. And that's like a choshed al shvua, that you can't let him do. But if he says all of his mind, and a shvua that I don't own less than half, then that's not a contradiction. And that we allow each side to do in our Mishnah. Now, be that all as it may, Omer Rabbi Yochanan said, Tava Beis Amrav, if you want to bring a raya from this case to Rabbi Chiya, you can't bring a raya. But you want to bring a case in this case, Rabbi Chiya said, if I claim for you 100, I have witnesses on 50. So then you have to take an oath against me that you don't know the other 50. And why bring a raya for our Mishnah, right? Then here the fact that each guy claims it's all mine. And willing to take and he has a raya, i.e. the shvua on half. So the other guy, so he requires the other guy to take a shvua on his half. It's no raya from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah could be im mizu shvuas takonai. Our Mishnah is talking about a shvua, which is a takona. It's not a shvua the rice in our case. Zomer chetzer shli v'zomer chuzomer kushli v'zomer kula shli. When each guy takes a shvua, he's not taking a shvua in order to prove a point. He can't prove a point with a shvua. Rather, that shvua is a deterrent. In order to make sure that people are not too much involved in grabbing other people's talesos. So that's a unique case. There's no comparing that case to the case of Adam that I owe you 50 when you claimed 100. So that case is completely different from our case because no knas over there. There's no grabbing and unilateral usurping. So there's no comparison in our case where the shvuah is not based on testimony and corroboration, but it's based on deterrent and avoiding the situation. Okay? So that's all for tonight, Rabbi Yisrael. We'll stop here for now. And we'll continue on the top line of Beis Amrav tomorrow night. How far behind are we?